This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, in for Terry Gross. Tonight on PBS, Great Performances presents Stephen Sondheim's Company with the New York Philharmonic. The musical, written by George Firth with music and lyrics by Sondheim, premiered on Broadway in 1970. More than 40 years later, this concert revival was mounted, and it's a terrific production. Neil Patrick Harris stars as Bobby. His co-stars include Patti LuPone and several players more associated with TV than Broadway, like John Cryer, Christina Hendricks, and our next guest, Stephen Colbert, who plays Harry, one of Bobby's married friends. Terry spoke with Stephen Colbert in 2011 when the filmed production of the New York concert, the one shown tonight on PBS, was presented as a four-day special event in select movie theaters nationwide.
Stephen Colbert, to see you singing Sondheim and to see you dancing in a little chorus line with a hat and a cane, I mean, it doesn't get better.
Well, thank you very much. It was an amazing amount of fun.
Now, there's a song in Company that you sing called Sorry Grateful, and it's a song about the ambivalence this character has about being married. And Neil Patrick Harris's character is the single guy in this, and all of his friends are like married couples, and they're actually all miserable, but they're trying to convince him he needs to get married. So he's been visiting you and your wife in this, and you've just been bickering and fighting the whole time, even had a karate match together. And then he says to you, and we'll hear what he says to you as you sing this song about the ambivalence of marriage, Sorry Grateful. So here is Stephen Colbert. The first line you're going to hear is Neil Patrick Harris.
You ever sorry you got married? You're always sorry. You're always grateful. You're always wondering what might have been. Then she walks in, and still you're sorry, and still you're grateful, and still you wonder, and still you doubt. And she goes out. Everything's different, nothing's changed. Only maybe slightly rearranged. You're sorry, grateful, regretful, happy. Why look for answers where none occur? You always are what you always were, which has nothing to do with, all to do with her.
Coming, darling.
That's Stephen Colbert in Stephen Sondheim's Company. You sing with emotion and vulnerability in that song, things that you can never show on your own program, The Colbert Report. It's such a different side of you.
It is. It is at that. It's what I imagined I would be doing when I went to theater school.
Really? In musicals in particular?
Well, just anything on anything in theater and musicals as part of it, I suppose. And it was such a bungee into an old dream to go do something like that. Because I went to Northwestern University, and I went to the theater program there, and I worked very hard, and my intention was to spend my life doing theater. That's what I thought my life would be. And it has not been, and I love what I do. But to be asked to do this and then to accept the challenge of it, I had to start taking voice lessons again because I can la-di-da my way through a lot of music, and I've done so on my show and for other people, but to sing Sondheim is a completely different beast.
So what did you learn from the singing lessons that you didn't know before?
Well, it was like a rediscovery when I did the singing lessons because I was doing all the stuff that I was doing when I was an undergrad at Northwestern, and what I discovered or rediscovered was the therapeutic nature of singing lessons. They're like doing yoga, but for the inside of your body. And they're
nicely put.
Thank you very much. They are. They you open up and use muscles that you don't think of as malleable. And you spend a lot of time thinking about your soft palate and opening up your sinuses. And it is almost impossible for someone to explain why that's important, how you can turn your head into a bell. But that's what, at least for me, that's what we kept on working on, is trying to get to things like resonance and projection and relaxation and just breathing. And then you have to forget all of it and sing. Or as my voice coach is Liz Kaplan. And Liz would say, we'd work and work and work. We worked for months. And then she said, oh, just sing stupid. It was just a few days before we went. She goes, just sing stupid. Just sing like we've never discussed any of this. And just make every mistake you can think of. But just sing the song with all your heart. Which was really just sing with feeling. And don't think about everything you're doing. A little less thinking, a little more feeling. I'm just quoting Mama.
So how did you get the part? Who said, get Stephen Colbert? Because it's not like you went and auditioned, right?
No. Well, you know, I do the show 161 days a year, and sometimes I don't know who the guest is coming up. And I looked up from my desk one day, and I saw on the grid a few days ahead of me, it said Stephen Sondheim. And I was with my booker, and I said, Stephen Sondheim? And she goes, do you not want Stephen Sondheim? I didn't know. A lot of people here weren't sure whether you'd want Stephen Sondheim. I said, oh, God, do I want Stephen Sondheim? because people don't know this about me, that I really like musical theater. And I think of myself as an actor and a theater person, even though I've done no theater in 20 years. And people don't perceive what I do as acting, but I still do. And the canon of Stephen Sondheim is devastatingly beautiful to me. And I was so thrilled to have him on the show. So I did something I never do with my guests. I did research. I actually put effort into Stephen Sondheim because I knew it wouldn't be an easy interview because you never see him being interviewed. And I assumed he doesn't like it or something. And one of my writers and I worked on a little parody of Send in the Clowns. And one of the things... I have to stay in character. Even though I like him, I have to try to stay in character. It was very hard for me because I didn't want to go in attacking Stephen Sondheim or really even be that ignorant about Stephen Sondheim, which is another sort of tactic on the show. I can either sort of be hostile toward my guest or I can be ignorant of what they know and care about. And it was hard for me to do that with him because I care so much about him and – or his work, that is. And
you know what? Before you go any further, we have that clip right here.
So, oh, you do?
Yeah, we have it right here. So before you describe it more, why don't we actually hear it, and then we can talk more about how you got the part in Stephen Sondheim's company. So,
great.
So here's Stephen Sondheim interviewed on the Colbert Report, and you wrote a new ending to his most famous song in this, and let's hear how that played out.
Yes.
Maybe your biggest toe tapper out there, the one that people know the best, is Send in the Clowns.
Very slow tap.
Very slow tap.
It's from A Little Night Music.
Yeah, it's from A Little Night Music?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where were the clowns? Because they said, where are the clowns? And we never find out where the clowns were, and it really leaves the audience hanging.
You know, she's a lost lady. She doesn't know where they are either.
Well, I found where they are. Would you like, I've got some lyrics that I'd like to perhaps finish your song.
Okay.
Where are the clowns? I booked them for 8. Hold on, that's them on the phone saying they're late. Traffic was bad. The tunnel's a mess. All 12 of them came in one car. They lost my address. You just can't trust clowns. That's why they're called clowns. So much more satisfying, isn't it? Isn't that satisfying to know where the clowns are?
Well, listen, we have 3 weeks left of the show on Broadway, A Little Night Music, before it closes in January. I don't see any reason why Bernadette Peters can't sing that.
I'm totally ready to pitch it.
No, we need some laughs in the second act.
I hope. Is there more? Are you gonna have another book after 1981?
Yeah, the second one is going to be called Look, I Made a Hat.
Well, come on and talk about that.
I'd love to.
I rarely fawn because I like to seem more important than my guests. I would just say I'm so happy you came here. You and me, bud. We're the loonies.
Did
you know that?
Yeah,
I bet you didn't know that.
Yeah.
Stephen Sondheim, thank you so much.
You.
The book is Finishing the Hat.
I love that because, like, at the end, you really genuinely tell him how much you like him. And like you say, you know, you don't usually do that on your show because you have to look superior to your guests.
Exactly. Yeah. Or feel superior, at least.
Is right. And that's a Sondheim lyric you're quoting at the end, right?
It is. I'm imperfectly quoting it, but that's from Sunny in the Park with George. That's the boatman who says to George, "You and me, pal, we're the loonies. Did you know that? Bet you didn't know that." And I love Sunny in the Park with George. I saw that when I was just starting theater school, and I remember singing Finishing a Hat, or at least reading the lyrics to Finishing a Hat, and other songs from Sunny in the Park with George to my mom to try to explain why I wanted to be an artist.
Okay, well, look, I've interviewed Stephen Sondheim, I think, 4 times, and he never asked me to be in one of his musicals. So what did you do?
I did nothing.
Wrong?
And I did not realize that I was auditioning at that point. I was just one of my writers, Peter Gwynn, worked on that song, and I was so happy that he had a good time at the interview, and I was so happy that it ended well with that parody of the song, and that he took it as the Valentine it was meant to be. That thought that was it. Well, great. I did a good interview with Stephen Sondheim. That's the little notch on the belt. And then we got a call that Lincoln Center was going to do a Company, and would I want to play a part in it? And my agent so wisely said, no, he doesn't have any time. And he told me later that he'd already turned it down. I said, geez, James, you know what? That was the right call. That's the right call. Absolutely. Wow, that's hard to say no to. But yeah, you're absolutely the right call. There's no way. It's insane. I can't do it. And then a couple of days later, I got a letter from a hand-typed letter from Stephen Sondheim saying that he, against his instincts, he had a good time on my show. And would I consider playing Harry in Company? And he ended the letter with the sentence, "You have a perfect voice for musical theater." And I read it to my wife, and she said, "Well, you have to do this. No one, let alone Stephen Sondheim, is ever going to ask you to do Sondheim." And I said, "You're right, I have to do it." And that sentence, "You have a perfect voice for musical theater," I throw around willy-nilly now. Like, my wife and I will be having an argument about, like, who takes out the trash or who needs to pick up the kid from, you know, from soccer practice. And I'll just turn and go, "I have a perfect voice for musical theater." And it generally wins the argument.
So was Sondheim on the set at all? And did he work with the people in the show?
He was there. He was there once we got into Lincoln Center, which is to say the day that we opened, because we never ran it until we did it for the opening night crowd.
Yeah, because you were all rehearsing long distance, right? I read you were rehearsing via Skype.
We were rehearsing long distance. It was all put together. I was rehearsing via Skype, or people were just sending you an MP3 of your harmonies, and then you'd be working on it alone with you know, a pair of cans on, trying to sing along your Bobby's. Bobby, baby. That, I think, my last words on this earth. I'll go, "Bobby, baby." And people go, "What does that mean?" We'll never know. Who is Bobby? And all of us were under the impression that this was going to be a staged reading, that there'd be, you know, music stands and, you know, the music in front of you, and perhaps we'd wear tuxedos, but we would basically be standing there with the orchestra behind us. We didn't know this was going to be fully staged. And this was slowly dawned on us as we had to show up for fight choreography and dance choreography, and, you know, "Well, everybody must be off book tomorrow." It slowly dawned on us, no, we're doing Company. In 2 weeks, we're doing Company.
Stephen Colbert, I always love talking with you. Thank you so much for coming on Fresh Air today.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's always fun.
Stephen Colbert speaking to Terry Gross in 2011. He appears in Stephen Sondheim's Company with the New York Philharmonic, which premieres tonight on Great Performances on PBS.
Bobby.
Bobby.
Bobby, baby.
Bobby, booby.
Bobby, Robert, darling.
Bobby, we've been trying
Bobby.
To call
Bobby,
you.
Baby.
Bobby, booby.
Angel, I've got something
Bravo.
To tell
Bobby, love.
You.
Bobby, honey.
Bobby,
Angel,
we've been trying
Angel, darling,
to
you all day.
Bobby.
The kids were asking Bobby.
There was something
Bobby,
we wanted
Bobby,
to say.
Your line was busy.
Bobby, Bobby.
Sweetie.
how have you been?
Stop by
on your way home.
Seems like weeks since we've been thinking of you.
Drop by anytime.
Bobby, there's a concert on Tuesday.
Hank and Mary get into town.
How about some Scrabble on Sunday?
I'll go to the beach next
Saturday.
What you doing Thursday?
Time we got together is Wednesday, old
Bobby, darling.
Bobby,
Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering support from Joyce Lieberman and Julian Hirschfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Our assistant producer for online media is Molly C.V. Nesper. Roberta Sharrock directs the show. For Terry Gross, I'm David B. Inculli, and here's Neil Patrick Harris.
Phone rings, door chimes, in comes company. No strings, good times, room hums, company. Late nights, quick bites, party games, deep talks, long walks, telephone calls. Thoughts shared, souls bared, private names, all those photos up on the walls. With love, with love, filling the days. With love, 70 ways to Bobby with love.